I'm glad you brought up the fertilizers, because throughout the entire country right now, it is so rainy. It's unbelievable.
That's of the week. It's actually another hydrangea. What do you know?
Yeah. You have less insect pressure. You'll have better calcium in your plant, and you will have lot less disease.
Perfectly safe for livestock, mm-hmm. for dogs.
Yep.
And chickens.
Yep. Good morning, Northwest Arkansas, and all of our friends out there in America. My name is Mark.
I'm Josiah, and you're listening to or watching the Rockwell Farms Garden Show, Two Nuts on a Tree.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a pretty good show. What's the body of our show again?
The body of our show is insecticides and fertilizers in the garden, whether it's in your flower garden or it's over in your vegetable garden. How to take care of things. And
you know, last week's show was pretty good. We went through all the pesticides on,
yeah,
because you know, we were trying to keep that deer in the headlight look away, and so we went through on like what to use for ants, what to use for mosquitoes, what to use for cockroaches, I mean the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And so people could just go, psh, oh yeah, that's right, I'll use the Max Force for this, or
yeah, and I like that we touch base on that, because it's also garden and home, you know, what's in the home and what's in the garden.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because we touched on bed bugs as well. What to do for bed bugs, what to do for fleas.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think last week's show was really good. I know that Jessica, our producer, is going to do shorts on that, so don't miss out on the shorts. Is that what they're called?
For YouTube, yeah.
For YouTube.
Yeah.
Because you can... It's extremely helpful. I really did like last week's show.
Absolutely. Hey, if you're new to listening to the show, a few places you can find us, obviously here on YouTube, but this is also a podcast. So you can find us on Pandora, Spotify, really anywhere that you find a good podcast, we're there. And then we've also got our Time to Apply. But today we're going to get into Time to Apply here in a second. Today, we're going to be talking about insecticides and fertilizers in the garden. We're also going to be calling Chris to see what's up for Mother's Day.
Oh yeah, that's right, because we have a lot of color bowls and so forth, and that's
we need to talk about. We've got a lot of new things that came into the nursery.
Hey, you don't watch the show, you listen to the podcast, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I'm on the run from job to job, and so I'll just plug it in, listen on Pandora or Spotify, or just at home, just let it play in the background, and so it's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
we're all right.
Yeah, I know. Nobody likes looking at themselves.
That's no, yeah. So we sound good.
All right.
Yeah.
So you want to get right into Time to Apply?
Let's get into Time to Apply.
All right. That never gets old.
No, it does. That doesn't. Yeah. Time to Apply. Time to Apply Five Star Fescue. Five Star Fescue is a blend of five different seeds. You have three seeds that germinate in the sun and two seeds that germinate in the shade. So either way, where you're throwing the grass, you're still going to get that grass to grow. It's also green 12 months out of the year. So rather than like Bermuda or some of those other grasses that are pretty common, this one's going to stay green all through the winter. It's going to come back beautiful, bright in the spring, just nice and full. And it's a beautiful grass to have.
Yeah, all you got to do is use 7 pounds per thousand square feet. If you're overseeding, use 2 to 3 pounds per thousand square feet. And don't forget the seed starter by Fertilome. I used that this year on my overseeding. I tell you what, I really love the results on that. That seed starter is very good. It's high in phosphorus. Get you good root development and greened it up just like that.
Oh, yeah. Time to Apply. Also, Time to Apply spinosad for your fruit trees.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming out of bloom and starting to put on those little fruit. That worm can get in there about this time and just hang out in your fruit. You don't want a peach that has a worm in it. So spinosad, it is all organic and natural. Use spinosad on your fruit trees to keep that pesky little worm out of there.
I remember telling my kids one time, you know, it's okay. That worm's been in there ever since that fruit was born.
Yeah, it's made a home out of that
little
thing.
Protein.
As much as you want the fruit on your fruit trees, so does everything else. So make sure you're using spinosad.
Yeah.
And then also Time to Apply again for fruit trees is copper fungicide.
Yeah.
Copper fungicide, especially for like peach leaf curl on your peaches or blight on apples, any of that. It's a bactericide and a fungicide. Copper fungicide. Make sure you're applying that. and get set up on a regiment for doing that. You're going to have pretty fruit. If you don't want pretty fruit, just go ahead and keep doing what you're doing, but you'll have pretty fruit using those two things. Mm. Also, time to apply. Time to apply proven winter hydrangeas. I have these ones right behind me. I'll be getting to here in a little bit, a plant of the week. Again, of course, it's another hydrangea. They're just so pretty right now.
And if you do any beds, it's time to apply your biotone. Make sure that you put that biotone in there, till it up into the top 4 to 6 inches of your garden, because that biotone has your beneficial bacteria and also has mycorrhizae, which kind of breaks down the fertilizer into usable form. That biotone is something that we've used every year. It's a great product.
It is wonderful. All right, that concludes time to apply.
Hey, I'm really glad you brought up the fertilizers, because throughout the entire country right now, it is so rainy. It's unbelievable.
Things are just leaching out.
So whenever you have 70 to 80 degree temperatures and the humidity, that is ripe for fungi problems.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite general all-purpose fungicide would have to be that fungicide 5.
Oh, yeah.
Totally organic. Use very little of it, like a teaspoon per gallon. Comes in a hose end spray, a little squirt, ready to use, and also concentrate. But I tell you what, that fungicide 5 by Fertilum has really broken through. We'll touch on it more.
Yeah, I would agree. It's kind of like a revitalizing, especially evergreens. If you start seeing that browning or any fungus in your evergreens, mm-hmm. Just zaps that right back to life.
It has a beneficial bacterium. They call it like D747 or something like that. But
Bacillus
anyway,
something.
Yeah, it's a bacteria actually that destroys the fungi. And so it's a bacteriocide and a fungicide. And that fungicide 5, I don't really like the name. I mean, fungicide 5.
Yeah,
it
sounds like a superhero group.
I think we ought to take a
fungicide
marker.
Fungicide 5, da 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 da.
Take a marker and kind of, you know, change the name or something.
Yeah.
It's just kind of boring.
Well, hey, we have the comment section segment.
I got a lot of comments.
We got a whole lot of comments.
A ton of comments.
We're going to be going through that, answering all of your questions. Why don't we get into that? The comment section. The comment section, if you're new to the show again, this is where we answer your questions or talk about your comments, what you want to talk about. You can do this by going, if you're on YouTube, you can go and comment under below your gardening questions or concerns or things you just want us to talk about. We also get future shows from that. If you have something that you're needing help with, that doesn't just help you getting that answer. It also helps potentially thousands of other gardeners that are listening to the program. But yeah, and then also you can go to rockwellfarms.com if you're listening on a podcast streaming service. You could go to rockwellfarms.com and email the show there.
Yeah, that's where I got a lot of mine. First one I have is John. Hey, you know that five-star fescue is the best seed that I've ever used. I did not get some of the lawn seed starter fertilizer, and I'm coming right up for it. So good for you. Yeah, I guess he heard it on the show. So he's
good. Yeah.
It. Gene, my cherry trees are not doing well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All right. Look, and I want to touch on raspberries as well.
Okay.
This past year, we had a lot. It was very moist this past wintertime. Your cherry trees do not like wet feet whatsoever. And so cherry trees have to be above the elevation of your landscape, meaning if you're doing a cherry tree, make sure that you have it 6 inches, the dirt 6 inches higher than the rest of your lawn area to where the water runs away. Make sure that you have good porosity in the soil, because if you don't, that cherry tree will have wet feet. Here in Northwest Arkansas, we have clay soils.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you have good porosity, which is porosity is air and water mixture, meaning you need, if your root system does not have air, you'll have wet feet and it'll rot out. And that cherry trees do that a lot. And the, in fact, the Heritage raspberry rotted out this year. I've had Heritage raspberries for 8 years and I had to replant this year.
So it's an environmental thing.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I got my Heritage raspberries and now I've grown those for years and I'm changing, to a different variety this year that's more tolerant to wet feet.
Now, say somebody has some cherry trees that are more established that are now seeing these effects. What is something that they can do if they can't elevate the root system?
If They can't. I mean, you have to start off right the first time. I mean, that's why vermiculite is so important. If you till in vermiculite, which is a very light substrate, it's a it's heated up volcanic rock, and a big 4 cubic foot bag you could just. Grandma can
and it's like really puffy. It's really light, actually.
Exactly.
Unless it's wet.
I don't like perlite. Vermiculite is totally different. Vermiculite's organic and perlite is not, for one thing. And the vermiculite holds nutrients until the plant is ready for it, but it also fluffs up the soil. So a bag of vermiculite will go a long way when you have the cherry trees. I do both. I'd elevate it and use the vermiculite around the cherry tree.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What else you got?
Martha, are you the buy three trees we plant for free firm? Yes, we are. I want to buy 2 dogwoods and 1 maple. So good. All right. I'll have to get back with her. Linda, I'm looking for a yellow and red hibiscus. Hey, now's the time for that. We always get the hibiscus and all the tropicals in at the beginning of May, and like most nurseries do. The yellow and the red and kind of the cool colors are the Yoder, Yoder, the Yoder varieties.
Yeah.
So look for the Yoder varieties, and we have those here at the
nursery. Really bright and constantly in bloom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you grow elephant ears? Yes, we do. We have dwarf elephant ears, black elephant ears, upright elephant ears,
goodness,
droopy elephant ears.
Yep, yep.
We got elephant ears everywhere. We got a whole herd.
We've got elephant ears coming out of our ears.
That's right, man.
Yep. So we do have pretty good variety on there. Some of these are off of YouTube and some are off of Facebook. We also pay attention to Facebook comments as well. This is Kaylin Cordes. I want to say how much I greatly appreciate that the flat price of marigolds has stayed pretty consistent over the last 15 years. Every year I come get my flat when I pick up my tomatoes and whatnot. It's just perfect year after year. I just wanted to touch on that. That's a great comment because, our flat price of the 6-packs has been pretty consistent. And so I'm glad you pointed that out.
And we went heavy. We went heavy on now's the time. Oh, that's pretty good because now's the time that you want to plant your summer type annuals, your vinca, which is also called periwinkle. And now's the time that you want to plant that. If you plant that earlier, once again, it'll get wet feet and it'll rot out. Okay. Periwinkle's just notorious for that. And a lot of people call it vinca, periwinkle.
They're really low maintenance. So it's something that you can plant.
And it could tolerate the hot.
Yes.
Same thing with marigolds. So now's the time to plant your marigolds, your periwinkle, and your red begonias.
But the marigolds, Kaylin talked about getting the marigolds. Marigolds are a great companion plant for repelling
You have that all through the garden.
Pest bugs. Yes, I do. I've planted quite a few back there. Another one that I've got. This has been my location for getting healthiest plants, largest variety, friendly, knowledgeable service for many years. I always ask my children to give me gift cards for Mother's Day to spend on flowers. You're a smart lady. I don't have much longer to wait. Save some of the pretty ones. Mother's Day right around the corner.
Hey, are we going to do that 4-inch thing again?
We are. That's what I was getting ready to touch on.
All right, go ahead.
On Saturday, if you're listening to this on Friday, this airs on Friday. Saturday, we are going to be giving out a free 4-inch annual to all of the mothers. So come check us out. Yeah. Even if you come up here just to get a flower, come check us out.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, for Mother's Day every year, all my kids plant mom's garden. And so that's pretty cool because the child could come up here, get a 4-inch. It's pretty much for the kids. You know, let your kids come on up here and get a 4-inch for the mom.
And then Mary says, speaking of tomatoes, pretty do you have any Rutger variety? Yes, we do.
Yeah,
we do carry Rutgers variety. She said that she's having a hard time finding this variety. Come check us out because we do have the Rutgers tomato.
Yep.
And then I've also got, like I said, there's a few of these comments. This is from Rose Dixon. What can I do for my roses? They tend to get yellow, black spots on them. I need help. Thanks again. I'm from Delight, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rose, first off, love your name. And then you're also asking about roses. What to do for your roses? Well, so there's a product. I've got it right here with
me. All-in-one.
This is 3-in-1. So this is from BioAdvanced. This is a fertilizer, insect control, and disease control. So this is systemic.
Yeah.
You're going to sprinkle this around your plants. It's going to help you to get rid of, on the new growth, that black spot and yellowing. If that's something you're suffering with, there is a fix for that. Now, the stuff that's got black spot on it, those leaves or yellowing,
they'll drop off.
They'll drop. That's not going to magically make that just disappear, but all of the new growth is going to stop that from spreading through the rest of it.
The reason why that is such a really good product is because the fertilizer in there, it acts as an accelerant for the fungicide. And the fungicide in there is, in my opinion, is the best fungicide ever. It's tebuconazole. It's a systemic fungicide. And in my opinion, that's the best fungicide. It's not organic whatsoever, but it is an extremely effective systemic fungicide.
So you mentioned that you're from Delight, Arkansas. Yeah. One of the things I would recommend, if you can't find this at your local nursery, what I would recommend is getting disease control for your roses, something copper soap would do, if you can do copper soap. But also fertilizing with that, because what that's going to do, it's also going to help new growth. So it's like getting vitamins in your body when you're not feeling well, so that you can better quickly get out of that sickness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the Rose and Flower Care is specifically for roses, and you're right that you can actually do your own thing, because you could use imidacloprid as your systemic insecticide.
There you go.
Yeah, and then Fertilome has a systemic fungicide and fertilizer in there. Yeah, you can.
So
do
you
own.
Can do your own, but if you could, this will take care of all three of those.
I like it.
In one treatment.
So you can't go wrong with that copper fungicide.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I've also got, I think I've got one more. This one is from Jody. I recently bought some high yield turf ranger to use on the perimeter of my home. There are some rabbits around the neighborhood. One has been in my yard the last couple of days. I don't want to hurt it. Any suggestions, or do I even need to be concerned? And then it goes on. Do you want to answer that?
It'd be fine.
Yeah.
It will not affect your rabbit whatsoever, because you're dealing with body mass. Okay. So the body mass of an insect is a lot less than a rabbit.
Correct.
So I don't think you'll have any problems whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay. And then also, this is also from Jody. It carries on. I also have another question. My yard is now more moss than grass. Some areas get sun in between the sunny open parts of the yard. Mm-hmm. There is so much more shade, though. If I get some five-star fescue, how much preparation, talking about grass seed, how much preparation, or maybe I should say, how little preparation can I get away with? Love the show. Always listen to the weekly shows on the radio. Kerm, keep up the good work, and thanks so much.
Well, the moss max will take care of it real quick. It's a granular. That'll take care of the moss really quick. Mm-hmm. And once you put down your grass seed, it'll start to absorb that moisture, because moss has to have a certain pH level, and it has to have the water. So once you get your grass down, the moss will actually leave. And putting down fescue is really easy. All you do is scratch up the top half inch, put your seed down, put your starter fertilizer in, and then water it in. And water it in the morning, in the evening, which hasn't been a problem here lately because we've been getting so much rain.
So the ground stayed.
Just water it twice a day. Because the thing about a grass seed is, if you ever let it dry out, the game is over. So don't let it dry out.
Don't waste your grass seed.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, and then last one from Nicole. Do you have super tunias in stock? Yes, we do. We've got a pretty good selection of super tunias in stock from the proven winter varieties of great petunias.
And also crazy tunia.
Yeah, and crazy. Oh, yeah, crazy tunias. Yeah. Those are great. So, yeah, we've got a pretty good selection of those right now. So that concludes the comment section. Awesome.
All right.
Hey, buddy.
So what's that? I know, that's a lot of comments.
That was pretty good.
Woo! Getting popular.
All right. Hey, why don't we give Chris a call? Why can't we do that?
Oh, yeah. Ask her what's selling.
Yeah, I'd like to see what's going on here at the nursery, and also what she's just got in for Mother's Day.
All right. Watch us get a recording.
Rockwell Farms, this is Chris. How can I help you?
Whoa, you answered pretty quick.
That's good.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hi, guys.
I just got through saying, watch us get a recording.
No, you know I answer the phone.
Awesome. Hey, everybody that's listening, this is Chris. She runs the nursery up here and takes care of it pretty well. Hey, Chris, we want to talk to you about Mother's Day and what all you're getting in. You've got quite a few trucks that have come in with some beautiful flowers and things that we've grown here.
Yes, I do. I've got a big load of annuals this week. All of my color bowls are getting full that we've planted ourselves in our hanging baskets. Our ferns are in.
Oh, man.
So we have a wide variety right now of annuals and perennials.
What's the most popular color bowl? I mean, my favorite would have to be the watering cans.
Yeah, the watering cans have been selling really, really well this year. Of course, they're in full bloom with a lot of purples and pretty pinks and things. And so those have been selling really well. And, of course, petunias and Calabraca and stuff like that sell really well all year long.
We have some pots that are real colorful. You picked them out at the trade show. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I won't forget those.
Yeah. So, man.
It wasn't hard to pull your arm on that either.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, I tell you what. Yeah. I mean, maybe during the show, you can bring me one of those pots because those pots are astronomical. Because a child can come up, get that pot. Pot it up for a mom.
Yeah.
And that'd be a Mother's Day gift.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, and they're beautiful.
Man,
they're beautiful.
I wish I was smart enough to have one here in the studio so people could see that.
Hey, Jess.
Need me to bring you
well,
one?
Bring me one, please.
Actually, our producer, Jess, she could put up a video. Well, yeah, let's do both.
Yeah, she'll bring me one.
Awesome.
Chris is great. I mean, she just mothers everybody. It's just awesome.
That's great. Hey, what kind of annuals did you got in?
So I got in my vinca. I've had everybody calling about those.
Ooh, especially the white ones.
I got in some more marigolds. Yes, I got in some more marigolds because I had actually sold out of everything that I had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, would you look there at you that? Go.
I wonder who that is.
You're awesome.
There we go.
All right. Yeah, it's been rained on. See, I love this. Look, it has butterflies on it. Has poppies. Dude, that's
beautiful.
Awesome. I love it.
Looks like watercolor and everything. What I loved most about these pots is these are indoor. Those of you who are
indoor,
listening,
outdoor.
These are just colorful pots that Chris actually brought one into the studio.
A little hole that you can unplug.
So it can be indoor or outdoor. So if it's going to be indoor for a houseplant, you're just going to put some gravel or some leca in the bottom of the pot.
Dude, that's
so that
awesome.
Way it'll hold. But if you want it outdoor, just pull the plug on the bottom and enjoy it outdoor.
I love these pots. They're awesome.
And it's a WeatherTech hard plastic.
It
so
won't
this
fade.
Will not, if this stays out through the winter, this is not going to crack, bust, none of that. This is super sturdy.
Yeah.
Great, great pot to use for Mother's Day. Fill this up with some vinca, some flowers, petunias.
Yeah.
It's great.
I like it because kids can pot it up for their mom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chris, what else you got going on at the nursery? What is your hottest items right now?
Right now, we are selling a lot of hydrangeas, a lot of clematis because they're coming on with those big flowers right now.
Aren't the hydrangeas on sale?
The 2-gallon hydrangeas are on sale. They're 30% off until Woo-hoo. Mother's Day. So come get your hydrangeas for your mama. Get you a pretty pot to put it in, and she's going to be super happy.
Well, that leads us, Chris, why don't you stay on here for that? That leads us into our plant of the week. That was really good. You have really good rhythm, Jess. I'm really impressed by that. I could never be that good at drumming. Okay. Hey, so plant of the week. It's actually another hydrangea. What do you know? Okay. So, hey, I've got
it's
the
just
wee.
Hydrangea, can't
Man, they're so pretty. It's one of the prettiest
I
things
do
here
like
at the
this one.
Nursery right now.
It has a goofy name, but I love the hydrangea.
So, this one is Wee Bit Giddy.
See,
this
that's
is
goofy.
By Proven Winners or Spring Meadow. Mm-hmm. And so, this is a big leaf hydrangea. This is a smaller one, though, the Wee Bit Giddy, that only gets about 2 foot tall and about 2.5 foot wide. And people have been using these as a border plant here lately. What do you know?
Dude, you could just take that right there. And are those 30% off right now?
So these are 30% off as well.
No sticking away.
So for Mother's Day.
You could take that, just put it in that colorful pot right there and say, there you go.
Give your mother a hydrangea that's in bloom.
Dude, that's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
I really like that. It's a red hydrangea.
It is, yeah.
And it's red.
So it is a big leaf, a microphylla. And so this also will change. a little bit of color over to that purple based off of the pH in your soil.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Mm. Speaking of
makes me giddy.
pH in your soil, you can also, you know, like your soil acidifier. So if you're wanting it a little bit more blue or red, you can change that based off of what you're doing in the dirt.
Because it's a microphylla.
Hey, you just got in those hibiscus as well.
I did, and they are beautiful. I got in all my tropical hibiscus and my hibiscus trees.
Do you have a red one with yellow in it?
I have a red one and a yellow one. I haven't seen one with yellow in it yet.
Oh, I did the other day.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's cool. It's a Yoder.
A Yoder.
Yoder?
Yeah.
Yoder. All right, what else? I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Chris.
No, no worries. I've got in some caladium, so we've got some really pretty colors in caladium this year that I have never seen.
Yeah.
So come out and check out our caladium. We got some just beautiful colors. I've got in some new herbs as well that I didn't have before. So I have dill and fennel and some more basil. So if you're an herby kind of person, come on out and see the see the new herbs that I have in.
Chris does not run out of herbs. I hear about it.
No, I'm an herb girl.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't run
out of herbs. Yeah. And then we do have a lot of new bedding plants, vegetables, strawberries, squash, a lot of new peppers that I've been out of. So if you've been shopping for a while, come back in here and see what new peppers and stuff that I have in.
Jalapenos.
Yeah, and then this Saturday.
You're fully stocked, aren't you? I mean, I am
stocked outside and inside the greenhouse. Every table is full. Everything's in bloom and looking pretty.
Cool.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Hey, this Saturday, it's been confirmed. This Saturday, we're going to be giving out a free 4-inch annual flower for all the mamas.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I like it when a child can come up here and say, here you go, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Hey, awesome. Chris, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I know you're busy. All right. Bye-bye. Chris is awesome.
She is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She mothers the whole place. She's like a mother hen.
She's like Mother Nature.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You had to say that.
Awesome. Well, hey, we've got quite a bit to talk about with some insecticides and fertilizers in the garden.
Yeah. Well, I want to focus on gardens because, you know, last week, that was the tail end of it. I don't think we did justice on that.
Yeah.
So what we do here is that we always have a... two insecticides. We're very, very, very conscious as far as what insecticides we're using in the garden because we have this theory of we want to sell you insecticides that will be effective without poisoning your wife and kids. Right? We take that to heart.
Yeah.
Because I've seen stuff out there to where they're like having an imidacloprid in something called Once and Done. Really irks me big time. Because, in the fine print, it'll say do not harvest for 45 days. Mm-hmm. That's asinine because we're going to rope off your garden.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
So the insecticides that we have for the garden, they're effective and you can use them all the way up to the day of harvest.
Yes.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So we put together... let's just comment on two of them. I want to start with the triple action and the spinosad soap, okay?
Yes.
All right. Those two are, what would you call it, complementary?
I would say so.
Hand, what's the word for it?
Yeah, yeah.
Alternate them. That way you're killing 120% of all the insects.
Yeah,
over 100%.
Yeah.
The nice thing about triple action is that it's not only a organic OMRI registered insecticide, but it's also a fungicide.
Mm-hmm.
And it is pyrethrin and neem oil. And what that does, it acts as a excitant, actually. And the insects, when you spray it, the insects actually come up from underneath and they get on top of the leaf, and that's where they die.
Yes.
So that's a very, very, very good one. I like to alternate that with the spinosad soap or the safer spinosad. I'm getting a little confused here. We alternate that with the spinosad soap, don't we?
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Spinosad soap is really good because it is fatty acids mixed in with spinosad.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty much a kills all.
It really is, yes.
If you have a huge, if you're in the weeds and you forgot to spray that week, and typically we spray every week,
mm-hmm.
But if you have an outbreak, there is nothing that spinosad soap will not kill.
Yeah, so we actually did trial in the back with the spinosad soap because of the potassium fatty acid salts in it. And we had, because if you remember on the beans, they're just getting eaten up with the Japanese beetles. Mm-hmm. And so we were using that pretty regularly for that. Mm-hmm. And just what a difference that that made. And then also the triple action. So I had my sister trial for her houseplants. She had aphids and spider mites. Start getting on everything in her. She's got one room just filled with plants, totally filled with house plants. And so I told them about triple action. So they started using it. So I called them a week or two later and I said, hey, I want to know how that's working for you.
Yeah.
And they said that they got a 90% kill on the first spray, which is really, really, really good. Because sometimes you can miss parts when you're spraying if you're not being super thorough.
It's a good insecticide, miticide, and a fungicide. And the nice thing about neem oil, not only does it kill insects, but it also covers the plant to where you don't have a fungi problem, like powdery mildew and black spot and so forth.
Yes.
So it really knocks it down well.
Mm-hmm.
So I alternate the triple action along with the spinosad soap, and it's very, very effective.
It's
not an insect that it will not get rid of. And if you do have an outbreak of your fungi problems, that fungicide 5 is one of my favorite. It's totally organic. You use only 1 teaspoon per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally safe.
Yeah.
Totally organic. Fungicide 5, in my opinion, is the best one for the garden.
Yeah. And then also the Neem Max.
Neem Max is a very good product. It's a cold-pressed neem oil that you do not lose the effectiveness of what's in the neem bean, okay? So it's a lot more potent than your normal neem oil. So Bonand has done a very good job with the Neem Max. I can't really think of an insect that it will not kill, okay? And you can alternate that with either your spinosad soap or the Safer's insecticidal soap.
Yeah, so the Safer insecticidal soap. So that one is actually 50% of that potassium fatty acid salts.
Okay.
And so if you're needing something that's a little bit more potent, again, that kills aphids, wipes them out if you're having a really bad infestation. Use a Safer brand because it's really potent. So, again, your spinosad soap has that in there, but that Safer brand is 50% of that potassium fatty acid salts.
Right.
Goes a long way.
Yes, and whenever you're buying insecticides, always look at, and here at the nursery, we always tell you how much you have to use.
Yeah.
That's very important because you do not want to use, a lot of the organics, you have to use like 2 ounces per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you really want to pay attention to, and that's why we alternate once again.
Yeah.
Is because like with the, even though the spinosad soap kills 120% of all the insects, I believe you use more of that product per gallon than you do the triple action. Like triple action is 1 ounce per gallon of the insecticidal soap. You use more than that. So that's why I use the insecticidal soap as a kills all when I have an outbreak. Right?
Yes.
So the triple action will be my mainstay once a week. And then when I start to see bug pressure too much, like getting into the summertime or some of that nature, boom, use that spinosad.
So a common problem that we see, because I would love a good solid answer for this for me and for those who are listening. One of a big problem that a lot of people face on vining plants like squash and cucumber is that vine borer. What would I be using out of those that's going to kill that vine borer? Now, if you don't know what that is, it's a borer that eats through the vine, and then you basically your whole plant dies just out of nowhere.
Yeah, it gets right there at the base. And so, first of all, whenever you're spraying your squash or any viney plant, That vine borer gets right at the base where the vine and the soil has contact, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you'll wake up in the morning, your entire vine is dead.
Your whole cucumber plant,
Exactly, because it gets right there. So you have to use the insecticide right there at the point of contact where the vine meets the soil, right?
Yeah.
And the number one insecticide for that vine borer would be the spinosad.
Okay.
So you can use spinosad itself or the spinosad soap. that's why we alternate again. That's why we always have an alternating process.
Yeah.
Because there's one insect that'll ruin your entire crop.
Oh, goodness.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why you alternate.
And it can happen to anybody.
That's why you
alternate. Another thing that we did for that, along with using insecticide, mm-hmm. was keeping that stem cleared and open.
Very good point. Yeah. Very good point. Take the leaves off where that stem
first couple of feet or so.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, because that is always the point of contact of that vine borer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a very good point. That way you can get your insecticide in there. So the four for a small garden mm-hmm. that I highly recommend is your Nemax by mm-hmm. Bonide, your Safer's soap. Okay. Safer's insecticide soap. Your spinosad soap by Fertilome
mm-hmm.
and your triple action by Fertilome.
Yeah.
Those are the top four organic insecticides. So that I highly encourage you alternate. Okay. Pick two and alternate them. Now, if you have a big garden, mm-hmm. right, there's always a cost and effect when it comes to insecticides. You know that because you have a big garden.
Oh, yeah.
Your Josiah has always used the... it's not organic, but it is the garden farm and home.
Permethrin. Yeah.
Permethrin is totally safe. It's not organic.
Yes.
But you use only a teaspoon per gallon.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
There's nothing it won't kill.
One bottle lasted me 2 years, and I would like to...
Yeah, we expand on that.
Set on that because I had treated my yard with it, because one mm-hmm. teaspoon goes... I mean, if you get a mm-hmm. quart, you know, one teaspoon goes... a long way in a gallon. And so we have used it on our chickens, you know, because bird mites can happen to anybody. And unfortunately, it happened to us. And so I used it on my chickens for their bedding and totally eradicated the bird mites.
Okay.
Because all that needs to happen is a bird flies down that has bird mites and starts feeding off of their bird feed, off their chicken feed, right? Because you're mm-hmm. throwing corn in there, you're throwing seed, meal, all this stuff. And your chickens are eating that. So the birds are flying in to your coop if there's an opening, mm-hmm. and they're going to be eating that seed. And if they have bird mites, your birds can get bird mites. And so I was using the permethrin garden farm and home and dipping my chickens' feet in it, you know, mixing that up. Perfectly safe for livestock, mm-hmm. for dogs.
Yep.
And chickens.
Yep.
Wonderful. And then I was using it in my garden as well. And then also in my yard and keeping for mosquitoes. Just a great all-purpose insecticide. Now, no, it's not organic, but it is safe.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. You know, scabies?
Uh-huh.
It's a insect that gets underneath the skin.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what the doctors recommend for that? The cream that they prescribe for that has permethrin in it.
Really?
It's 0.05% permethrin.
Wow. Another thing that I use of permethrin, now I'm telling you, a bottle with all of these uses that I was using it for lasted me 2 years.
Yeah.
And so another thing I was using it for was going to jobs if I knew they had, like if I was mowing or something, if they were, I knew they had a tick
chiggers,
infestation.
Ticks and fleas.
Chiggers, fleas, yeah. And so I would leave a spray bottle with a little bit of permethrin and filled up the rest of the way with water in the back of my truck. And I would just spray my pant legs and my boots with it so they weren't crawling up.
Yeah.
Worked like
US
a charm.
U.S. Army does that. They dip their uniform in permethrin before they go out in the woods.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it just has so many uses to it, and it can be used in the garden. Again, it's not organic, but it works wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And you can use it up to the day of harvest. You just rinse your fruit.
Mm-hmm. Now, that I would definitely alternate with spinosad. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's the alternation with permethrin or the garden farm and home by High Yield. Make sure that you alternate with spinosad. Spinosad is awesome on like the tomato hornworm, mm-hmm. any worm or caterpillar. Okay,
yeah.
Spinosad.
Yeah.
Spinosad, get rid of your vine borer, any worm. Yeah. Alternate those two and it'll kill 120%.
Yeah. So if you can use the straight spinosad, and that is ideal for the worm. Mm-hmm. And then if you're wanting like the, because that spinosad, excuse me, that spinosad soap is the spinosad and the potassium and fatty acid salts. So that's kind of like a go-all. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say, because I think this is very important, that the another importance of alternating your organic insecticides is some of those insects can build up a resistance to those insecticides. And we saw that happen with aphids, you know.
Yes, because you have different aphids.
Yes.
You have woolly aphid, you have the black aphid, you have all these different kind of, you're exactly right. Yeah,
and so building up a resistance, you want to alternate. That's going to help with that so that they're not building up that resistance. You can hit them from the side. They won't know what happened.
So if you have a big garden, you can use the permethrin, which is in the Garden Farm and Home by High Yield.
Yep.
You can use the Fertilome spinosad, but that will not have any effect on fungi problems. So if you're growing squashes and so forth, which are very susceptible to powdery mildew, that's where your fungicide 5 comes in. Fungicide 5 is totally organic. It's a bacillia to where it'll kill your bacteria and your fungi. And you only use like 1 teaspoon per gallon.
Oh,
so
that's great.
It's awesome for a big garden.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. What about time of day to apply these things? Because some people are concerned about maybe pollinators. Some people are concerned about, well, will this burn up my plant if it's oil-based? What's the best time to do that?
You know, in all honesty, I always spray in the evening.
Okay.
I don't in the morning at all. Because in the evening, number one, all the bees have gone home.
Yes.
All right. So you're not killing your bee population. By the way, we don't even sell 7-Dust. Anything with 7, we don't even sell.
Yep.
That's a big irritant of mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Because 7-Dust has carbaryl in it. If you read the fine print, the EPA has been trying to get rid of that for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It totally devastates the bee population.
Yeah.
So, number one, spray in the evening to where there's no bees around. Number two, second reason why I spray in the evening is because the insecticide stays active longer, okay? Because you have more humidity. You do not have the sun drying it out, all right? So, the insecticide just physically is more active just because of the physical properties of it being wet.
Yeah.
And number three... it has a longer residual, so I always spray it at night.
That's great because usually most of your worms...
And I don't have to worry about the neem oil burning the plant.
That's great.
So I could do it all through the season.
Well, a lot of the worms are out feeding at night.
Exactly.
So...
yeah.
Because of predators or whatever. So most of them are out feeding at night.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. Fertilizers. Okay. Getting fertilizers and what fertilizers to use, what fertilizers maybe not to use for this or that.
All right. If you have been using organic fertilizers for years, this is a really good product called Fertilome Humic Acid.
Mm.
Humic acid came out a couple years ago by Fertilome. The main ingredient in it is Leonardite ore, okay? Now, y'all can Google it and do your own little research on it, but what happens is that Leonardite ore actually revitalizes your soil back to where it was last year. So... if you've used organics last year, and you, all that hard work can be revitalized just by humic acid.
Okay.
Okay.
What about the electric charge?
Yes, that's pretty much what it does. It charges back the. All right. Now you're getting into the weeds here. fertilizers. It has more. It has a lot less to do with the physical properties. It has everything to do with the electrical properties.
Mm.
So when you're fertilizing your plant, it has more to do with the electricity than anything else.
And this is why a lot of gardeners are now putting copper rods in their planters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because when you take a element, it has a positive charge.
Okay.
All right. And so some elements have negative charge. And it's all about them binding together into usable form for that plant.
Wow.
Like vermiculite. Vermiculite has high cation exchange capacity. That's why we use that, and we're going to talk about that in bed prep. Cation exchange capacity has a charge to it, and it will hold the fertilizer, okay, electronically until the plant is ready for it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when it comes to fertilizers, it's all about electrical charges.
Yeah.
So that Leonardite ore actually kind of shocks the fertilizer that's already in there and revitalizes it. I don't know how else to explain it in layman terms.
That's great. So don't this. We're not talking like plug your plants up to the breaker box. So
no,
don't do that.
I guess you could try it.
I think I will. Yeah. No,
but it really does revitalize all that hard work that you had last year.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Now you want to talk about one of my favorite fertilizers for the vegetable garden?
Yes. Mine too.
Yeah, I want you to expand on this, but my comments on this, I really like the Crown Jewel Grow. It is 3-2-2, all right? 3% nitrogen, 2% phosphorus, and 2% potassium. The reason why I like this is not the front part of the package, but the back.
Yeah.
So many fertilizers, and we went through this years ago, so many fertilizers have a filler called feather meal.
Mm-hmm.
That's just chicken feathers.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy. It's a inactive ingredient. It's a filler to where you have to use more per square foot of your garden.
Mm-hmm.
This does not have any feather meal in it.
Right.
The fertilizer that they use is not chicken poop. It's guano from seabirds.
Seabird guano.
Totally natural.
Mm-hmm.
No hormones, no insecticide, no nothing in the seabirds. It's totally natural. So those are two reasons why I like this, among others. So I'll let you expand on now.
Yeah, so we started using this.
It's my favorite for the garden.
And we've had the Rural Gold guys out, and we've seen them quite a bit. So you can also check out that video for further on this. But I will say this. It is hard to find an organic fertilizer that is higher than 8% in calcium. Now, your minimum that you need, or your minimum is about 8%. Okay.
Yeah.
Or somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
They're most of their fertilizers, like their Imperial Boost, which is a great finisher in your vegetable garden to get them really pushing out end of summer. And then their bloom is great, but they're high in calcium and it's about 17%. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about this was also this goes a lot farther than most of your other fertilizers. Mm-hmm. So,
because it doesn't have the feather meal filler.
Yes. Now, and you can also, it's such a small particle size, you can, it will distribute and break down a lot quicker to usable form for your plants. But you can also use it as a tea. And you can do that. I think it was one or two tablespoons per gallon.
Exactly.
And you can use that also as a foliar feeding.
Yeah. If you're going to do the foliar feeding, when making it as a tea, which I highly recommend because it goes a lot further, do that at night as well.
Okay, yes.
Because the stomates are open, it'll just go in.
And then using this fertilizer, we've noticed that our plants are a lot, for one, healthier.
Yeah.
But it's tend to have more resistance
to insect pressure.
To insects and diseases, I would say, just off of what we've seen. And then the guys were on the show and they confirmed that.
We were at the trade show one time and this lady who was selling organic fertilizers told us about crab meal.
Yeah.
It has natural repellent to insects, right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, by Neptune.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know what the number ingredient in this is?
Go ahead.
Crab meal.
I love it.
I just realized that just now.
Yeah. Well, they even talked about that on when they came in a little bit, too.
I wasn't paying attention.
But yeah, it builds a resistance towards insects because your plant is much stronger.
Let's go over the... let me tell you what this is derived from. Number one, crab meal. Then neem seed meal, alfalfa meal, basalt, fish bone meal, gypsum, seabird guano, Epsom salt, kelp meal, sulfate of potash, and dolomite.
Gypsum is where you get your calcium, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you get your calcium from the crab meal. You get from various sources.
Yeah.
Your fish bone meal, gypsum, and your crab meal. That's your calcium. And the Epsom salts as well. I tell you what, this is, my opinion, this is the best fertilizer, organic fertilizer, for the garden ever made. And what you put into your edibles is what you're putting into your body. That's why I really wanted to camp out on this Crown Jewel Grow.
Yeah. Because
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. So those of you who are new listening to the show, or maybe just a refresh, the reason why the calcium is so important in your vegetable garden is that will help create basically the shell around your fruit. And why that's important is because if you don't have that, you're going to get blossom end rot. Now, if you don't know what blossom end rot is, it's if you've grown tomatoes, you probably know what it is. It's when the fruit isn't even done producing, but it's rotting at the bottom. And some people think that, oh, something came up and ate the bottom of the fruit. No, that's not what it is. That does happen. But it's lack of calcium.
Yeah.
Another thing that lack of calcium does is that you get flower fall. You'll get these beautiful flowers on your plant, but they don't do anything. They just fall off. It's also lack of calcium. It also adds great flavor to your fruit.
You know, a lot of people, there's something called what's the little squirt bottle that we have that holds the blossoms on? But anyway, all that is, it's calcium. It's liquid calcium. I mean, in all honesty,
it's blossom set, I think.
Thank you very much. There's no reason to use that blossom set if you have a good calcium in your organic fertilizers.
Yes.
See, so stop paying money on the back end and start paying money on the front end. You won't have those problems.
Yeah.
You have less insect pressure. You'll have better calcium in your plant, and you will have lot less disease. And calcium is very important because it's very important for the metabolic activity inside the cell of a plant. So I love this. We've actually gotten rid of all of our other organic fertilizers last year, and this is the only one that we're doing.
Again, they have the Grow, they have the Bloom, they have the Imperial Boost, and then they just came out this year with the 555. It's an all-purpose fertilizer, and so that one's great for many things. But we've been using this more than just in our vegetable garden. I've been using it to plant our fruit trees, regular trees.
I use it for other things.
The Bloom. I threw a little in the hole when I planted my roses at my house this year. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things that you can use them for, not just in the garden.
And you can stage it. You can start with the Grow, and then you can go with the Bloom.
Yep.
And then you go with the, I call it the Finisher.
I do too. It just, yeah.
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 Enough said.
It gives you really good taste in fruit.
Yeah, it does.
The Finisher.
And then it keeps them going through those hot summer months.
Exactly.
Just keeps them producing.
Our garden did not peter out when we used the Finisher.
No, we still have.
What's it called, the Finisher? We call it the Finisher.
Imperial Boost.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our Finisher. And you're right. Our tomato plants kept producing. Even though it was over 100 degrees, we had tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, we did.
And our tomato, oh my word, I remember. Our tomato plants were over 6 foot tall.
Yes, they were.
We grew them
over.
Exactly. So they were.
They do that every year. Well, every year that we've started
using this.
So we're not trying to make this an infomercial about this fertilizer. We're gloating on it because it's worked so stinking well for us.
We were overwhelmed. Why would we not? We were overwhelmed and we contacted this company.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, hey, I got a question. Yeah. So for blueberries.
That's my deal.
I would also categorize, you know, like rhododendrons, azaleas, into that same boat.
All right. If you're growing blueberries, the first thing you want to do is get your pH level correctly first. Now, there's pH meters by rapid test, which are very cheap, and they work well. You just stick it down, you stick the probe down into the soil, and it'll tell you the pH with the meter. It's so simple, but yet it works well. I use it. I have for years. You want your pH to be around 3.5 to 4, especially here in Northwest Arkansas, because most of our soils have a high pH, all right? And use the soil sulfur by high yield. It's the cheapest. Sulfur is sulfur, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So it's the cheapest around the high yield soil sulfur, and put that down in there and water it. You want to change your pH and get it regulated before you plant your blueberries. You cannot change. Let's say it's typically around here in Northwest Arkansas, our pH will be around 6.5 to 7, sometimes higher. You cannot change it from that high, 7 to 7.5, to 3.5 while you have the plants in there, because you'll kill the plant.
You have to do it before.
Yeah, you have to do it before. You have to get your pH right first before you plant your blueberries. And that's something that you just can't get around it.
Yeah.
And the soil sulfur is it's great.
Now, one we had, you know, a couple months back, we had somebody comment about, will you do a show on or a part on rhododendrons and azaleas? And so, but we've also had quite a few people coming into the nursery, or and I've had customers while I'm out planting trees ask, why is this not doing so well? And there's usually a couple things with rhododendrons and azaleas. So their natural habitat, where they would grow more in the wild areas, is going to be usually on the east side of a tree line.
Mm-hmm.
And because it gets some morning sun, and then those trees provide more an more
shade from the 3 o'clock sun.
Exactly, but also more acidic soil conditions as well. And so, and then also, shaded in the afternoon. And so those are kind of the ideal conditions. So if it's on the east side of the house, you could get away with the north side of the house, as long as it's typically closer and it gets some dapple shade or dapple shaded areas. But a big thing is also the pH and the soil.
And you could treat them both the same. Okay, get your pH right first, okay? Now, azaleas and rhododendrons, they could be a little bit higher, 4.5 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
I always say 3.5 on the blueberries because it's going to raise up in time. Then once you get your pH right, that's when you use a soil acidifier for your blueberries and your edibles because it's
This is a great one, yeah.
Yes. And then you'll use your halitone for the azaleas and rhododendrons. Okay?
Yeah.
What these do, both of these have sulfur in them to where they will maintain that pH, okay? Just from rain and lime in the soil, that pH tries to rise.
Yes.
This is a good maintainer is the way I'll call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
I want to hit on bed prep.
Yes.
Because if you're putting it in the garden right now, now that the rain is maybe settling down next week, all right?
Yep.
There's something that we call Magnificent 7 here at Rockwell Farms Nursery, and typically is 1/3 cotton bur compost, all right, 1/3 coarse grade vermiculite, and 1/3 Canadian peat moss.
All right? Mm-hmm.
That is a perfect mix from Square Foot Gardening. It's a perfect mix for your vegetable garden. It's great in porosity as far as air and moisture is concerned. And you can direct seed in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
We do here at the nursery.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we just take some beet seed and throw it out there. And
carrots.
So, in my opinion, that is the best garden mix that you could possibly have. Now, if you have an existing garden and you want to overlay it, you have to use at least 6 inches of the Magnificent 7 on top of what you've had before, right? If your old garden, if your last year's garden did not perform well, it's more than likely it's compacted and you don't have good porosity in that soil.
That's common. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Because a lot of people call up here and say that my vegetable plants are green, but they're not growing. That's a porosity problem.
Mm-hmm.
Till in the vermiculite into that substrate that you have, and that will fix the porosity, and then you can add the Magnificent 7 on top of that.
Yes.
So that's my recommendation. If ever you're overlaying Magnificent 7 on your original bed, till in the vermiculite first, buy extra vermiculite, till that in 1/3, meaning if you're going to till it in 9 inches, apply 3 inches of the vermiculite. Till that into your existing soil because the water will go quickly through the Magnificent 7 and then slow down a little bit into what you've just tilled in, and then it will reside at the very bottom. And that's actually good when we hit the summertime and you have 100-degree temperatures.
Yes.
Because a tomato plant root system will go down about 3 feet.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. And that's also a great way because if you want to get started on like a no-till garden, that's also great direction to start in because we never till our...
No.
We never till.
No.
We'll top off, but we never have to till.
Never have to till.
No.
No. And then every season before the season starts, we use the humic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And that just pretty much revitalizes the whole thing and we're off and run.
Yeah, never have to till, never have to mess with it. We might top off a little bit, but...
I hope that people do the research on that, Leonardite ore and humic acid. Google it because it is a very inexpensive way of revitalizing your existing garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wow, this was a pretty good show. Hey, thank you so much for listening to us. If you have gardening questions or concerns, or you have maybe a show idea you'd like us to take off on, why don't you comment down below, or you can email us at rockwellfarms.com. You could go to our website. There's a place you can leave questions and comments. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, people do.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much. We love talking with you.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, later.